your donation in person at the Tiny Porch Concert. 10 to 4 tomorrow at Radio Catskill, Route 52 in Liberty.
You're listening to Radio Catskill. WJFF Jeffersonville. W233 AH Monticello.
Live from the WJFF studios in Liberty, New York, this is Radio Catskill. I'm Tim Bruno. On today's show, it's Friday and Dan Hoost is here from Sullivan County Government with the latest from the legislature. On Tuesday, the 139th Pennsylvania Legislative District will be up for grabs in a special election to fill the vacant seat left by State Representative Joseph Adams. We'll meet one of the candidates today. And our spring fund drive is just about to wrap up. We can do it today with your support. Just $5,000 to go. Call 845-482-4141 or go to WJFFradio.org. News is next.
Live from NPR News in Washington, I'm Corva Coleman. A senior U.S. official says Israel fired missiles into Iran overnight. NPR's Kerry Kahn reports this comes days after Iran fired more than 300 missiles and drones at Israel.
After weeks of tit-for-tat strikes and threats of retaliation by both Israel and Iran, the initial reaction to the strikes is muted. Analysts suggest both sides hope to ease tensions and avert a wider regional conflict. Meir Litvak is director of Tel Aviv University's Alliance Center for Iranian Studies.
The way it was carried out was to also provide Iran with the deniability of saying that nothing major happened or we intercepted it. And therefore, we don't know where it came from, and therefore, there is no need for Iran to escalate the situation.
The International Atomic Energy Agency says there has been no damage to Iran's nuclear sites. Kerry Kahn, NPR News, Tel Aviv.
There's been no official comment from the U.S. on the matter, other than from Secretary of State Antony Blinken. He's attending a meeting in Italy of foreign ministers from the Group of Seven Industrialized Nations. He says the U.S. had no role in the strike.
The United States has not been involved in any offensive operations. What we're focused on, what the G7 is focused on, and again, it's reflected in our statement and in our conversation, is our work to de-escalate tensions.
The United Nations Secretary General has released a statement. He is demanding a stop to what he calls, quote, the dangerous cycle of retaliation in the Middle East. Former President Donald Trump is in a New York courtroom for his criminal fraud trial. His defense lawyers and prosecutors are trying to complete jury selection. They need about five more alternates. Trump spoke before he entered the courtroom. He said the trial is politically motivated, and he demanded an end to a gag order. The judge imposed it to prevent Trump from disparaging witnesses and family members of court staff. Stocks opened mixed this morning as Netflix announced plans to stop sharing subscriber numbers next year. NPR Scott Horsley reports the Dow Jones Industrial Average rose about 175 points in early trading.
Netflix added more than 9 million new subscribers in its most recent quarter, adding gains from last year after the video streaming service started offering cheaper ad-supported plans and cracking down on shared passwords. Investors are worried, though, about maintaining that momentum. Netflix says it will stop reporting quarterly subscriber numbers early next year. Israeli airstrikes on Iran overnight briefly pushed crude oil prices higher. AAA says retail gas prices in the U.S. have jumped about a nickel in the last week and are just below the average price this time last year. And Starbucks says it's redesigning its Frappuccino cups to cut down on plastic waste. Iced coffee and other cold drinks now account for 75% of Starbucks U.S. sales. Scott Horsley, NPR News.
On Wall Street, the Dow is up 160 points. The Nasdaq is down 66. This is NPR. News reports say a telecommunications company says it was responsible for 911 outages Wednesday evening in three states. Lumen Technologies says this happened when a third party was installing a light pole. 911 service was knocked out for a time to customers in South Dakota, Nebraska, and Nevada. Voting begins today in India, the world's largest democracy. Nearly 1 billion people are eligible to vote. As NPR's Dia Hadid reports, India's election process will play out in seven stages over 6 weeks.
Analysts say this election will likely see a third back-to-back term for the Prime Minister Narendra Modi and his Hindu nationalist BJP party. He's wildly popular and he's been furiously campaigning across the country. But observers and opponents of the BJP say this election, while free, is not fair. They include more than 80 former Indian civil servants who wrote to the country's election commission last week against what they said was a disturbing pattern of, quote, witch hunting. That came after the main opposition party said its accounts were temporarily frozen over alleged unpaid tax dues dating back decades. Spokespeople of the BJP insist this is merely the rule of law in action. Dia Hadid, NPR News, Jaipur.
Big tech company Apple has pulled two social media sites from its app store in China. The sites are WhatsApp and Threads, owned by social media corporation Meta. Apple also says it pulled two more foreign messaging apps, Signal and Telegram. Apple says the Chinese government ordered it to remove the sites. I'm Corva Coleman, NPR News.
Support for NPR comes from NPR stations. Other contributors include CFP, Certified Financial Planner Professionals, committed to acting in their clients' best interests. Learn more at letsmakeaplan.org. And the listeners who support this NPR station.
That's right, the listeners who support this NPR station, Radio Catskill. I'm Tim Bruno. Good morning. We will get to the official Radio Catskill show that you tune into every day here at 10, but I want to introduce a couple of guests who are here for our spring fun drive. In person here in the studio is Jesse Lazar from Sullivan Public. Hi.
Hi, good morning.
And on the phone, it's Daniel Lascola from Calicoon Pantry. Hello.
Hello.
Now, you guys are both here. Danielle, I'm going to start with you because you have a special incentive for our listeners today to help us end our fun drive. You have a challenge.
Yes, we've got a challenge going on. We have it's a matching donation of $250. So if y'all can donate during this program or hour, I don't know how long it goes, and match that donation, Radio Catskill is going to get it all.
Oh, that's amazing. Thank you so much. We really appreciate that. And yes, it's a matching challenge, and we're trying to meet it by the end of the hour. So call us at 845-482-4141 or go to wjffradio.org. And make your donation there and help us reach our goal. You know, we've had a great morning today, and we are now only $5,000 away from meeting the entire fund drive goal. So with this, that's $500 off that, right? So keep that momentum going. Amazing. You guys have some amazing things happening at Calicoon Pantry and the Calicoon Marketplace this weekend, including today. It's a community swap. What is that and how does it work?
Absolutely. So today from 3 to 6 p.m., we are having our clothing, seed, and craft supply swap. So this is the pantry's annual big clothing swap where folks drop off their clothes or bring clothes that are gently used, you know, loved and ready for a new life with someone else. And then you come and you know, it's a totally free event where you grab as many, you know, clothes as you brought. And then our friends at Woolworth are doing the craft supply swap, same rules, you know, take a craft supply. And then the Herbal Scoop is doing a seed swap. So same thing. If you have local seeds that you want to bring in and trade for something else, this is a great free opportunity to do it from 3 to 6 p.m. at the Marketplace.
That's amazing. A great swap opportunity there. And then also this weekend, there's some other stuff going on. And I think that there's, what is it, bagel upcycling? What's happening with Grizzly Bagels tomorrow?
So from 9 to 11 tomorrow, Zach is going to be doing, he'll just have like some information about how, you know, if you happen to have any bagels left over, don't know that folks normally do from him, but if you do, he has a lot of really fun uses for how to, you know, if you have like couple day old bagels and, you know, you don't really want to add a bagel anymore, how to, you know, not waste it and turn it into something new. And then, you know, later that day, Woolworth again is having a natural dye demo from 3 to 4 p.m. tomorrow. And what's really cool is that at the swap today, we have already gone through a bunch of our donated items and picked out items that are perfect for her natural dye opportunity. She's going to be using onion skins from the pantry and like locally foraged plants that are out right now. And you can pick one of the items in like the specific dye bin, leave it with Leela tonight. She'll prep everything. And then all you have to do is come by tomorrow and dye your item.
Oh, wow. Very cool. There's so many things going on. And that's at the Calicoon Marketplace in Calicoon, right there on Main Street, right at the corner there before you go over the bridge to Pennsylvania. And anything else going on that you wanted to let folks know?
Those three items or those three events today and then two tomorrow. And I will say, you know, if you come swap today or even if you don't want to swap, but you want to be part of the action, the whole pantry shop, we're doing 5% off during shop swap hours from 3 to 6. So great opportunity to get a little discount on your sustainable food items and like totally free, like cool, great new clothing. And even if you didn't bring anything to swap, we will have a donation bin. So you could come by, you know, pay what you think is appropriate for the items if you didn't bring anything. So it's really a great event for everyone.
That's awesome. I understand you have some approved Passover supplies as well.
We do. We just got kosher for Passover goods. We got matzo. We got matzo ball soup mix. So, yeah, we are prepped and ready for the weekend for y'all.
Where can folks get some more information about all the events that are going on at the Calicoon Pantry and Calicoon Marketplace?
You guys can follow on Instagram. We're super active at the Calicoon Pantry or at the Calicoon Marketplace. Both of those are great places to follow for marketplace and pantry-wide events. Or you can go to our website, thecalicoonpantry.com.
Awesome. Oh, and thank you so much again for this challenge, $250 challenge from Dania and the Calicoon Pantry. And look, we've gotten a donation already from Anders in Brooklyn. Thank you so much, Anders, for your donation. Just donate now, 845-482-4141 or WJFFradio.org. Dania, there's a fellow business owner here right across from me, Jesse Lazar at Sullivan Public. I don't know if you guys know each other.
I know all about her.
And same with you.
Your amazing store.
You guys are so busy in your stores that it's hard to get to see each other. But I'm going to let you get ready and prepped for the swap later today. But Jesse, they're doing a community swap this weekend as well. So great swapping opportunities in our community this
great
weekend.
Great time to swap, not shop.
Exactly. Thank you so much, Dania. And we appreciate it. And again, $225 now to go on that challenge from you. Thank you.
Amazing. Have a great one.
Thank you.
Bye.
All right, Jesse, tell us more about your swap and tell us about Sullivan Public. You know, we're talking about Calicoon. You're down the river now.
We're in Eldred.
In Eldred, right. So how long have you had Sullivan Public?
Well, I had a small pottery studio around the corner in Eldred, and I outgrew that space and moved into Sullivan Public 1 year ago now. So we opened last May. And I have a much bigger pottery studio now and a bigger store and then Sullivan Public, which is a community art space.
Yeah.
And yeah.
Cool. And then so like what do folks get to experience there when they come in? I mean, is it more that you said community art space? So it's more than just your pottery and studio. It's other people from
the
community.
That's exactly right. That's right. So it's, we hold workshops and classes and events. And so it's a space for the creative community and we make art there. We have, I teach ceramic workshops to adults about once a month in my studio, but we have about 1500 square feet of dedicated classroom space. And there's so many amazing, talented artists in this area it's amazing. And so we have space for them to come teach what they do.
Oh, cool.
And we have an indigo dyeing workshop and learning how to use your sewing machine and watercolor painting. And Kristen Texiera is teaching a barn quilt painting class. So we have a ton of things lined up for the summer season and an after school program for kids on Thursdays or silk screening. And the list goes on and on. There's like a lot of really cool stuff happening.
And I mentioned that you're doing your own swap tomorrow.
Yes, our planets are aligned.
I know. I love the swapping weekend. It's so cool. And it's like in advance of Earth Day on Monday, too.
So it's all very
appropriate timing. What are you guys doing in this swap?
So this is a swap and shop. So there's a lot of different ways to leave with treasures. We're collecting. We've been collecting some really good stuff already. We've gotten some really good donations. So we're collecting also clothing for kids and adults and yarn and fabric and also garden seeds. So we're like really
have
a little
aligned,
bit for every. Totally. And there's something really for everybody. And so you drop off your stuff. We're not really policing it item for item. Like if you bring in two pairs of pants and you find four T-shirts for your kids, that's fine. and then we also have vintage vendors that are going to join us. Nothing New and the Coat Hanger Vintage. And then my own shop. I have a huge vintage collection that I'm going to be deeply discounting.
Oh, wow.
And sample sales from Mayor Wassner and Dee Smit, which is a sustainable clothing company, and she's beautiful, beautiful pieces. And they're doing sample sales. And I want to shout her out because Christina Dee Smit is the reason that the sale is happening. She's like at my space right now sorting clothes by size. So thank you, Christina, for making this happen. But I think it's going to be a really fun day. And we have, a million opportunities to leave with sustainable, a way to build a sustainable closet and sustainable planet.
It's so awesome that, that you're doing it, and it's awesome that it's going on throughout the community. So, you know, today, go to Calicoon at the Marketplace and drive down tomorrow to Eldred, and you can do it at Sullivan Public.
That's right. You can double swap all your clothes.
Double swapping.
swap up.
Where can folks get more information about your swap, but also Sullivan Public and all the great stuff
you're
offering?
Yeah, all the programming and the registration and all the details about the swap are on our website, so www.sullivanpublic.com. And our Instagram is always a great place to keep track of what we're doing. So that's also Sullivan Public.
All right. And, you know, we wanted to ask you, too, for being here in studio, like, how did you come to find us? How did you come to hear Radio Catskill and be a part of the community here of listeners that support public radio?
You know, I think I'm one of those kids that just grew up with, like, NPR in the kitchen all the time. And so no matter where I've lived, like, I left for college and found the local radio station there. And so JFF is number one preset in my car. It's like I sit in my pottery studio with NPR in my ear all day long. Uh-huh. So of course I found JFF. Of course I listened to WJFF all day.
We've been talking to folks throughout this fun drive about how they learned about the station. And so many people have said the same thing. Like no matter where they are, they try to find that public radio station. I call it going left of the dial there. You go there to find what you want.
Yeah.
Because there's this instant identification with what you're hearing, even if it's in a different town or city or a different flavor of what they're offering. It's still a similar sort of mindset and what I want to hear on my radio and what I want to choose to bring into my head.
Totally. It's the soundtrack of home.
Yeah.
It's like that's what makes me feel part of the community. Yeah. And how else are you going to find out about all these swaps?
How would you know about these swaps? You're not hearing about this everywhere.
There's no other swap source. Yeah, that's how you learn about what's going on in your neighborhood. Yeah, it's crucial.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much for coming
in
and telling us about
me.
That. And also for sticking around a little bit here. If you feel you want to help answer the phone and somebody calls in for that challenge. We've heard from Anders in Brooklyn online, but call 845-482-4141. Say hi to Jesse. Learn more about the
donate,
swap.
Donate.
And more about Sullivan Public and Eldred and the great things that they're doing there. Jesse, thank you so much.
Thank you for having me. It was totally an honor.
We'll take a quick break. And when we come back, more community news and information. Yeah, it's Friday. And Dan Hoost is here with Sullivan County government and to let us know what was going on at the legislature and other items of note. This is Radio Chatskill.
Pennsylvania is one of about 10 states that has a closed primary system. So that means only people who are registered to a party can participate in that party's primary election. So that means if you're registered to a third party or if you registered as an independent, meaning you don't identify with any major party, you're functionally not able to.
Monday at 10 a.m., Radio Catskill presents The Future of Farming. We're taking a look into the next generation of farmers in the Catskills and Northeast Pennsylvania, who they are, why they do what they do, and what barriers they face in entering a notoriously difficult industry. Monday at 10 a.m., only on Radio Catskill. Listen local.
I'm Lauren Migaki. I'm a coordinating producer for NPR. A coordinating producer is someone who goes in the fields wherever there's a big news event happening and acts as event planner and scheduler and script proofreader. Often it just means you're the problem solver on the ground. So anything that the reporters need to do their job, you're kind of there to help with. You know, the beauty of it is that you get to support people who are telling people stories that you can't get if you're not on the ground. Making sure that they have power strips and showers, things like that, it feels like you're part of this bigger team effort to help tell the story. I think it's so important to have eyes and ears on something as small as a school board vote to as large as a global conflict. There's a lot that goes into reporting a story that doesn't always get seen, but is crucial to doing the story, and we could not do that without listener donations.
Keep public radio in the Catskills and Northeast Pennsylvania. Give now at WJFFradio.org.
Or call 845-482-4141. We have a $250 challenge from Calicoon Pantry to help us end our drive. We've heard from Anders in Brooklyn, and we have $225 to go on that. And for the overall drive, we just have $5,000 to go to end this drive. So help us right now. Get some money toward the challenge. That will just help us get that much closer to ending the drive, maybe even today. It's Radio Chatskill. I'm Tim Bruno. And Fridays, we're joined by Dan Hoost, the Communications Director for Sullivan County Government. And he's here right now. Hello.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm good. I'm in the haze of the fun drive, so.
I can tell. Although I hear it's going pretty well.
It's going very well. Good. 91% of goals, so that's really
nice to know everyone's so supportive.
I know. So. It's great to hear from everybody in the community. Let's talk about the legislature. They met yesterday and some points to cover. Let's see. Some money given to youth programs yesterday.
Yeah, this is nice. This is something that unless you're directly involved in the youth program, you may not realize we even do this. But we have a youth bureau. It ironically is part of our office for the aging.
Okay.
I don't know how it got set up that way, but it works fine that way. So
they eventually age.
Yes. So, the legislature yesterday formally approved $150,000 worth of funding for local youth programs. These are not county programs. Many of them are town programs. Everything from town of Bethel and Calicoon to town of Fallsburg, Thompson, Tustin, village of Jeffersonville. Jeff has something called Youth Ambassadors. I didn't even know about that. I don't know. That may be something to explore on JFF. See who these youth ambassadors are in Jeffersonville.
Yeah. Yeah.
The Catskill Fly Fishing Center and Museum to educate youth about the environment and stream science. The Center for Discovery's Innovation Green Team, which is called Dig It. I think that stands for Discovery Innovation Green Team. Cornell Cooperative Extension's Ag in the Classroom. Delaware Company has something called Cushatunk Kids. The Dispute Resolution Center, Youth Achievement, Recognition, and Development, also known as YARD. Fearless Hudson Valley, which is about sexual assault prevention, education, and training. That's important for teenagers to know. Nesson Cultural Arts Summer Arts Academy, Sullivan County BOCES, a virtual reality thing, Woodridge Housing Authority, Nurtured by Nature. All these programs sound so fascinating to me, and
amazing.
We are helping make sure that they happen, funding them between, oh, it looks like we've got the smallest awards, about $1,500, right up to about $10,000 that we're funding. And these go through an application process. It's not just, oh, I feel like giving to them today. Our Youth Bureau works very hard to make sure that these programs meet our requirements, but also that we support them and the wonderful things they're doing in the community for our kids.
Yeah, that's great. Let's see. Going down the list here, there was some news about putting potentially folks who are unhomed into housing at SUNY Sullivan. What's the discussion there and any outcomes?
Well, the dorms at SUNY Sullivan, the Lazarus I. Levine Residence Hall, the building needs a lot of work. There are roof issues and interior issues, and so no students are staying in there currently. Mm-hmm. So there are a number of different ideas being bounced around by the college, the dorm board, it has its own board, the county and others, as to what to do with that property. And one of the things that had been researched was possibly to house folks who are homeless because there's, the structure is there. It would need some work, and it seems like yesterday that, I don't know if it was a majority of the legislature, but a fair amount of legislators didn't seem to be inclined to go down that route. I mention it because it was mentioned at the prior legislative meeting that it made it into the media, but I think that is a situation that may not be that likely. However, I do want to highlight the fact that we have a growing homeless issue in Sullivan County. We're over 300 last I knew, and we had been for many years hovering right around 100. And this is part of the even bigger housing issue that we're facing in Sullivan County. A lot of these homeless folks are not the stereotype that you would think of somebody who's living under a bridge with a shopping cart full of their worldly goods. These are folks who, and we do have those folks, and we try to help them, but these are folks who got evicted from a property or had something happen where they lost their home or their rental property, and there is just no place for them to go in Sullivan County because rents and interest rates on mortgages are so high. And, of course, we have a short-term rental market that is thriving, but a long-term rental market that is, as a result, very limited. So we're looking at all our different options, but I wanted to put it out there that from what I witnessed at legislature yesterday, I don't think in the end SUNY Sullivan is going to be that option for us to create what we really, really want to call transitional housing, something where people would stay for a temporary amount of time and we would give them the tools to really get back on their feet and be able to find some permanent housing in the community.
So was there opposition to housing folks who are no. currently without a home, or is it just the state no. of the actual dorms?
It's the state and also the location. Some folks are like, is a college campus the most appropriate place for this? You know, and shouldn't we maybe, if we're going to rehab them, maybe use it for students rather than homeless?
Rehab the
know?
Dorms.
Yeah. Yeah. So no, there's not opposition. There is a recognition that there is a growing homeless issue in Sullivan County. The question is how to cost effectively for the taxpayers and also effectively for the homeless create this transitional housing. My guess is probably what's going to happen is that we will identify a location that we can either rehab or more likely build new some transitional housing. And of course, it's not going to, even the dorms would not be able to house over 300 people. Mm-hmm. So it's going to be an ongoing issue, and some of it may only abate when the housing crisis abates a bit in the county. Well, but we can't wait for that. We have to focus.
Yeah, staying on housing, there is a faith-based Affordable Housing Act at New York state level. What's that act, and what's the legislature's response to that?
Well, the act would allow faith-based housing basically to skip over the zoning and planning process to a certain degree, not completely, but it what legislators have with it is the problem that it would bypass home rule in creating faith-based housing, which is, you know, religious organizations creating housing, usually for members of that religious organization. And it would apply. It's not just for one group or another. It would be faith-based. But the state legislation has been very controversial across the state, again, because it would bypass local home rule, where you have your zoning board, your planning board saying, okay, you've got to do this, you've got to do this, you've got to do this. It's Governor Hochul's response to the housing crisis, which is not just in Sullivan County, statewide. But there are people saying, no, this is way too extreme in nature. So the legislature passed this resolution to say, we are not for this.
Well, it was actually, the bill was sort of, I don't know if it was put forth by, but at least influenced by the New York State Council of Churches. So there are some definite advantages for folks in the religious community, faith-based community for this. But then local officials don't want Albany to touch local zoning laws.
Right. And listen, we're all in agreement that there needs to be answers to the housing crisis, solutions sought. But this is a feeling that this benefits just certain segments of society rather than all of them. It really actually could create more problems, because if you bypass local zoning and planning, then, I mean, what are those zoning and planning boards for then? Right. So.
Got it. If you're just joining us, we're talking to Dan, he's the Sullivan County Communications Director, who is joining us every Friday with an update from Monticello. We'll turn now to some discussion about the funding for the Sullivan County Visitors Association, Sullivan Catskills. What's going on there in terms of their remaining balance of the funds that are, I guess, already allocated?
Yeah, there's... You know, Sullivan County's been very fortunate to be really raking in revenue from sales tax. We continue to be on an upward track on a per capita basis, outpacing much of the rest of the state. And that has been a great thing. Our room tax has also been increasing. And the room tax, 85% of that by state law is supposed to go to our tourism promotion agency, which is Sullivan Catskills Visitors Association. The other 15% we can retain for administrative purposes. Basically, our treasurer's office maintains that because, you know, they have to keep track of the room tax collected. And they've been great, by the way, in making sure that our Airbnbs pay their fair share, just like the hotels and motels do. We were the first state in New York to make sure that that happened. So kudos to them. But there has been money beyond what we budgeted in a contract with the SCVA that there was talk under the past legislative administration of handing to a different tourism organization that really never materialized. There wasn't one there to do that. And this legislature is like, no, the SCVA is our tourism promotion agency. We don't need to have anyone competing with them. but we want to have a say exactly in how this, if you will, excess money is used. Mm-hmm. They've already given $1 million to them with a few, I guess you'd say, strings attached. This final $1 million, there was discussion yesterday. Some legislators feel like it's taken a little too long to figure things out. Other legislators were saying that, listen, we want it to go to the same place. We just want to make sure that it's accountable in how it's used. No, I'm saying that wrong. It's not that it's being used recklessly. It's just that they want it to be used by the SCVA to create tourism promoting events, events that bring tourists to the county. The SCVA has said, hey, we're very willing to do that. Give us the money. It's really working out the details of that. But if you were to watch legislative meetings yesterday, you would think maybe there's controversy again about giving it to the SCVA. And that's what legislators unanimously wanted me to convey on the radio is we're all in favor. They're all in favor of giving this money to the SCVA. It's just the bureaucratic process can take a little longer than I think everybody wants it to.
Something you know very well.
Yes.
There was a resolution passed to apply for New York Connect All about installing broadband. Now, is that for – who's that for?
This is for everybody.
Oh, great.
We would get the money that we would then share, and probably most of it we would share with our private fiber optic partner right now called Archtop. They are a company that was created sort of out of the Hancock Telephone Company, the Margaretville Telephone Company, I think, and some others. And they're now based in Kingston at the old IBM facility over there. And they have this huge plan to wire the entire region with fiber optic, areas that the current provider, Charter/Spectrum, hasn't necessarily gotten to. But also probably be a competitor to them. We had several years ago wanted to create a wireless solution to reach those little nooks and crannies in the county where it might not even be cost effective for Archtop to string fiber to. But there's a wireless solution where you can get really high speed broadband internet. And our goal, just like the statewide goal, is to make sure as many people as possible in Sullivan County, residences and businesses, get that broadband internet. To me, it's a fact of life now. You have to have it. It's a necessity. So we're asking for $30 million from the state that we would then share with Archtop to create a very strong fiber-based network in Sullivan County, reaching areas that are underserved or even unserved, including areas that are served, and then also stringing wire. We'd basically have a ring in connecting our emergency communications towers, which then would also transmit wireless and receive wireless internet signals. So if you live down that dirt road in that little valley that nobody's ever going to string a fiber optic cable to, you might still be able to get a wireless signal and thus have broadband internet.
All right. We are talking to Dan Hoos. We'll take a quick break, and when we come back, more from Sullivan County Government. This is Radio Chatskill.
Hey, I'm Jason Dole, letting you know that we are very close to making the goal for our spring fun drive here at Radio Catskill, and there's still time for you to help. Maybe you were meaning to give, but you haven't yet. Maybe this is the first time you're even hearing about the fun drive. Well, either way, that's great, because you can still give now. Go to WJFFradio.org to make your donation. Help us reach our goal at WJFFradio.org.
This is Radio Chatskill. I'm Tim Bruno, and our fun drive, our spring fun drive, is going to wrap up tomorrow, if not today. We're at 91% of the goal. We have about $5,000 to end it, to go, just $5,000 today. And to help us get there, there is a $250 challenge from our friends at Calicoon Pantry, and we only have $225 of that to go. If you can help us get to that goal, then that helps us erase more off the overall goal. And guess what? We might be able to even end this drive today with your help. 845-482-4141 or WJFFradio.org. And continuing our conversation with Dan Hoost, Communications Director for Sullivan County Government. getting an update on what's going on in Monticello. There are foreclosed properties in the area. You at the county level are offering to repurchase those foreclosed properties. What's this program and what are some of the specifics of the deadlines for that?
The legislature has agreed to this, as has the treasurer's office, to have this repurchase period for properties foreclosed because of taxes. People have until June 30th if they want to repurchase their properties with no penalties or fees associated. All they're asking for are the back taxes that are owed, including the current back taxes. Now, there even then, that's not the actual last opportunity. After June 30th, the properties get turned over to our auction company because in September they'll be put on the tax auction. But up till August 23rd, you can repurchase from the tax auction company, but that will probably include some extra fees. It could be a significantly higher cost. So the hope is, as the county treasurer Nancy Buck said to me yesterday, she says, I would love it if we had a year where nobody lost their property because of taxes.
Yeah.
That's never going to happen. And listen, let's be honest. There are some people who do try to play games and stuff. And, you know, okay, if you have the capacity to pay your taxes and you're not, then probably you shouldn't be hanging on to that property. But the treasurer's office's feeling and the county's feeling in general is most people are honestly trying to keep up their heads above water, but it's really hard, especially with inflation and everything. So we want to work with folks as much as possible, give them every opportunity to get their properties back.
Are there idea of how many foreclosed properties there are? Or
no, I don't know offhand. Usually in the past few years, we've had between 200 and 300, used to be over 1,000. But also now, too, there's really very little incentive for municipalities in New York State to hang on to these properties themselves, because when they go to tax auction, the new state law now says any surplus above the market value has to be returned to the original property owner.
All right. Also, some news, traffic news, a bridge in Jeffersonville closing for some repaving, which might affect some traffic. Where is that bridge?
It's the bridge in Jeffersonville. For those who are familiar with Jeff, it goes over to what they call the island. At one point or another, it might have been the island. It really technically isn't anymore. I call it sort of the backside of Jeff there, but probably the island is a nicer way to put it. It is a cute little spot. It has a little park there, has a pedestrian bridge, the Shop Memorial Bridge, but there's a road bridge that the county owns there that connects 52 to the island there. It's called New Bridge Street. Go figure. We have to shut it down for 2 weeks so that we can properly repave it, make sure that it's repaired and brought up to speed. So the detour is going to add about an extra 5 minutes on people's ride around there, and we just want folks to be aware.
And does that impact traffic on 52?
No.
Okay. So no. It's
because
bridge,
you won't
really
be able to turn, so you just have to keep going. But it'll be from April 29th to whatever 2 weeks is thereafter. Might even be earlier if we have great weather and we can finish it up.
All right. Also, in legislative news, some increase in pay for nurses at the care center.
Yeah, I'm excited about this because we need LPNs so much. We're in desperate need of them everywhere, but particularly in the care center. And so the legislature agreed to up the starting rate by close to $3,000 from $44,000 and change to $47,000 and change. And it will be also, it also includes reducing the years of experience for the starting pay differential from 19 years to 10 years to allow the county to remain competitive and maintain the services provided through the care center. Mm-hmm. We want that care center to be the best that it can be. I know there's been lots of debate and argument about the fate and future of the care center, but we still have staff there. We certainly have county residents there. We want it to thrive, and we need LPNs to help accomplish that.
And then also we had talked about this last week about a new driver needed for the Office of the Aging. Has that been approved?
It has been approved. Okay. I just bring it up because I'd used it as sort of an example of the fine line, the tough balance legislators have to maintain between adding positions that we feel are needed, but also making sure that we have a balanced budget and that we just don't add positions without thinking about the larger cost of it all. But legislators had that chat and said, you know what, we really need this position to make sure that we are serving our seniors the best we possibly can. So it's coming.
Okay. And now to our favorite topic, the food scrap pilot recycling program.
Yes.
You have a big smile on your face.
I do.
You said you wanted to talk about it. What's going on?
Yes. We have not yet reached the 400 subscriber list for our pilot food scrap recycling program. So if you're still interested in participating, I'll tell you in just a minute how to be part of that. But the whole idea was to get to a level where we could say to the state, listen, we have enough people interested in composting in Sullivan County. We think you should give us permission to pursue building a composting facility. Well, according to our recycling coordinator, Cassie Thelman, we have reached far enough towards that 400 goal. We're in the 300 range right now for her to go ahead and start preparing that application to the state, which we're quite confident the state will say yes to. Mm-hmm. So then it'll just be a matter of us finding the funding to do it. But it does look like we are going to move forward towards building a composting facility at our Monticello transfer station for the people of Sullivan County.
That is some great Earth Day news. Mm, and, yes, you know, Cassie Thelman, we usually reserve the bell for fund drive donations, but I'm going to give Cassie Thelman.
There we go.
There you go. Congratulations. That's great. Great news.
It is wonderful news. And if you would like to sign up still to be this pilot program where you can get these free bins to bring food to our transfer station, call her at 807-0291. That's 845-807-0291. She'd love to talk to you.
Also, public health is getting into the cookbook business. There's a barefoot Contessa there. What's going on?
Yes. Our public health team actually has several of them have several good cooks amongst the and people who know how to cook in a healthy way. This isn't deep fat fried food that we're talking about. This is using your fruits and vegetables in interesting ways that you never have before. So we have it online on our social media on the public health page. There's a QR code or a link that you can use there to go see and download. And even if you want to print the cookbook, we do not have print issues. It's all digital, but it is all local as well. It's from our public health team. Check it out.
And one quick shout out before we go.
Yes, our dispatchers. This is National Public Telecommunicators Week. And as you know, Tim, being somebody on the radio, you know, it's...
as a public telecommunicator. Yes,
you are, in a way. but we're talking about our 911 dispatchers. Yeah. Your job is tough enough. Think about adding in theirs where it's truly life or death when they are on that mic and on that phone with somebody sitting at desks that look very similar, actually, here to the ones in the studio. These are folks who work day and night. They have to be there 24/7. They take shifts, of course, but sometimes they have to take double shifts on things if we don't have enough people to fill at that particular time. And they make sure that those police, those firefighters, those EMS workers get to your home in those emergencies when you need them. If it weren't for them, well, I shudder to think. Mm. So a shout out to them. They work really hard. They are our true first responders. And yet, ironically, are the ones you hear about and see the least. So we just want to give them some recognition.
Thank you for all you do.
Yes.
All right, Dan, who's from Sullivan County Government. Thank you so much for joining us today.
My pleasure as always.
Take a quick break, and we'll be back with Dr. Patrick Sullivan from Liberty School District about the new budget that was approved and also some upcoming budget meetings. This is Radio Chatskill.
Don't miss Radio Catskill's Tiny Porch Concert happening tomorrow. Join us here at the station for great live music and help end the fun drive. Performers include Marian Osio, Van Manakis, Dave Keener, Lucas Rotman, and others. We'll have pizza from Upcycle Brews and Bites in Rock Hill, free beer from Catskill Brewery. Come out, have fun, and make your donation in person at the Tiny Porch Concert. 10 to 4 tomorrow at Radio Catskill, Route 52 in Liberty.
We've heard from so many of your friends, neighbors, and fellow listeners during this fun drive. Now we just need to hear from you. Do your part to support Radio Catskill. Donate now to keep public radio in the Catskills and Northeast Pennsylvania. Go to WJFFradio.org. Make a one-time donation of any amount or become a sound supporter for $10 a month or more. That's WJFFradio.org. Thanks.
Or you can call 845-482-4141. Mimi's in the office and be happy to talk to you and take your donation and put it toward the challenge that we have right now. It's a matching challenge from Calicoon Pantry. Calicoon Pantry is offering up a $250 donation. If we match that this hour, So far, we're, let's see, $200 to go. We heard from Duncan in Coshecton and also Anders in Brooklyn, $200 to go on the $250 challenge. If we make that, then it becomes $500, goes into the till. That comes off of the $5,000 overall goal that we need to make today or by tomorrow. We can do it today, I think. And then that means we only have $4,500 to go. It's a lot of math. Mimi can explain. 845-482-4141. Donate now and help us end the drive. I'm Tim Bruno. You're listening to Radio Chatskill. And on Tuesday, the Liberty Central School District Board of Education approved a $68 million budget proposal put before voters that will be put before the voters on Tuesday, May 21st. To talk more about that is the superintendent of the Liberty Central School District, Dr. Patrick Sullivan. Good morning.
Good morning, Tim. Thank you for having me.
Yeah. Tell us about this budget. We've talked about it before. This was all approved this week.
Right. So our recently, as you mentioned, this past Tuesday, our Board of Education has approved to propose a $68 million budget to our community for a vote that will be taking place on May 21st. But most importantly, I'm here just to help communicate our efforts and what this proposed budget looks like. So again, thank you for having me. And to kind of get into to revisit some items and some important pieces of the budget, first and foremost, we always ensure that our budget is aligned with our strategic plan and our mission and our vision to ensure that we're providing the best or optimal educational experience for our students. So some key points with the budget, as we mentioned, it's a 2.62% increase from last year. As there's always a component with this budget of a tax levy, we're looking at a 0% increase this year. Last year, we actually lowered the levy by $1 million. So we did that. So we're continuing with the same levy as last year.
I think 0%. That's a question most people will have when they hear like a $68 million budget. Is there going to be an increase to the tax levy? And you're saying that no, there's not anything in there.
Okay. Correct. But, you know, with some support that we receive from state aid, we're still able to sustain and expand our programming, right? So, again, to continue with the educational programming for our students to help prepare them to pursue their potential, right? And that's the words of our mission. So some things that we're looking to incorporate into our programming with this proposed budget is – we're looking to add staff, for example, a TESOL teacher. So that's a teacher that will teach and support students who are multi-language learners, right? And helping those students gain language acquisition skills. So and work towards Regents diplomas and things of that nature. So we've had some increase in our enrollment with multi-language learners. Also, as extracurriculars are a very important part of the educational process, right, and experience for our students. And looking as we want to expand our athletics, and especially that we're in the midst of, preparing to create the draft, so to speak, of our athletic facility updates from the capital project that mm-hmm. was passed earlier this year. So we're having that. So looking to add an athletic director. We have one, but looking for an administrative athletic director. And then, support staff. But for programming and facilities, we're continuing to look to expand and align our curriculum. So what the students are learning in grades K through 8. There's some changes with science standards. So we're making sure to invest to support our staff. Our faculty and staff, so they can make sure we're meeting the next generation standards. Other districts in the county do this, but we're expanding our advanced placement courses. So we're adding 2 Syracuse University Project Advanced courses. We're looking at ways of incorporating computer science and artificial intelligence related programming and some extracurricular opportunities. Like we're looking at starting a podcast club, looking at esports as well. We also have, money invested as we still have changes with the mascot that we're, with the facilities. And we've been working with a group to help not renovate, but update some space in our middle school for an innovation lab there that's connected with our library and or media center.
Just going to jump in and say we wholeheartedly endorse the podcast club. We'll help you out.
Excellent. Thank you. we're excited. We've already started to see some interest. There's around 30 students interested, and our teacher who's overseeing that is really excited and working with them. So we have some equipment we've already started to acquire to get the students prepared. So they have their platform, their voice to talk about school matters and just being able to share what they think, what they learn, what they know, and we share that with our school community.
That's great. We'll bring them over here too, get some hands-on experience and learning, and we'll hear from some of their voices too. Once that gets up and going. Also, I mean, I'm sure there are some increased costs because of just inflation or other recurring expenses. Can you just kind of outline some of those increased expenses that are part of this too?
We have our contractual increases. We also looking at, there's always increases, you know, to items like fuel. There's also increased cost to outside programming. So if we have students, if we can't support our students within the walls of our district, then they may need some additional support. So those are always costs that we consider. And going from there, and so those are some of the primary costs that we see as increasing in addition to our regular yearly costs, right? There's always something to be cognizant of, such as inflation with everything else that we have in our days. So there's other some considerations that we're always cognizant of is the federal grant, the COVID funding, the American Relief funding, that is completing. So we have to be understanding of that.
Right.
And we've accounted of that because it was important to not use those funds for items that would have to be continued to paid for if you don't have that. So we're making sure and there's no impact. We've been cognizant of that and we've made sure not to put ourselves in a position of having to have any type of shortfall because we were strategic with how we leverage those funds to support our students. You know, there's always costs with the capital project as well, even though it's a 0% impact, things that we have to think about, but that's already accounted for. As our enrollment, it seems to, in some other places in this region, the enrollment's decreasing. Liberty is not. It's been steady, around 1,800 students, and that's increased over the past, you know, 4 or 5 years. You know, again, student needs changes. So we're looking at making sure that we're sustaining our programming and with our strategic plan, we feel we have some other items that we have to start working on implementing or exploring the implementation. But, since this will be going into our third year of the strategic plan, we're really focusing on refining and refocusing on the refining of the implementation of the initiatives we've done, right? So there's not looking to expand. We're really trying to make sure that what we're doing and what we're working on to support our students, let it be the curriculum and other components of our educational process or experience for the students, is that we're really trying to focus on doing it well.
Yeah.
Sorry,
this budget goes before voters. We said that this gets voted on. So when does that happen and where does that happen for folks?
So that'll be on May 21st from 11 o'clock in the morning till 8 o'clock. In the evening in the high school media center. It's always been in the gymnasium prior, but felt it's best to have it in the media center. And there'll be some more information going out to the school community over brochure and other items and notices that have been sent out and continuing. But most importantly, if anyone's interested, is tonight at the high school media center. We have a presentation.
Dinner and a budget.
Yes. Dinner and a budget show. We call it, so to speak. We'll have some pizza. Everyone enjoys a slice of pizza, I'm assuming. And we'll have a presentation, answer any questions. Also, next Friday from 9 a.m. to 11 a.m., I'll be at the Munson Diner, the new Munson Diner, to sit down and have some conversations with anyone who's interested if they have any questions for the proposed budget for the 2024-25 school year. We have our budget hearing on May 7th, and that will be in the high school auditorium. And then it's the vote for our community on the 21st.
I have to say, I want to commend you on your outreach creativity here. You know, most people will just have a meeting and be done with it or post it on the website. You're having some creative ways of being transparent and outreaching to folks with the dinner and a budget show tonight, yes. Going to the New Munson Diner in the community to and be, you know, accessible.
One more on May 6th, will be this, Ms. Lorene McKenna, our assistant superintendent for business, and I will be at the Liberty Town board meeting to present the budget there to reach as many stakeholders as we can. So thank you for that. But we feel it's important for us to get out into the community as people are very busy, and we know that. And sometimes it's tough to come back to the buildings, to our buildings after being there to pick up your child from an event or something else. And it's best that we get out into our community to try to reach as many people as we can.
And on the website, there's more information. It's libertyk12.org. Also, just before we go, I want to mention you've got registration for the summer enrichment program underway. And there's a digital equity survey for LCSD families.
Yes, and we're excited. Our students, there's a lot of great programming in the enrichment courses or activities for this summer. So, you know, definitely families of Liberty and children of the age groups that are applicable to this where the programs are offered, take a look. And it's always a great time for our students to come to school, learn and have fun on top of the learning and fun that they have during the school year.
The normal fun they have. All right, Dr. Patrick Sullivan, superintendent of Liberty Central School District. Thank you so much for being
here. Thank you.
All right, we'll take a quick break and come back with an update on where we are with our challenge and our spring fun drive. This is Radio Chatskill.
The fight against disinformation is more complicated than ever. And in a record year for elections around the world, it's never been more important. I'm Miles Parks. I cover voting and election security for NPR. At NPR and this station, we report rigorously on the forces trying to disrupt democracy and provide your community with reliable information. This election year, stand with the facts. Donate to this station today.
Give now at WJFFradio.org.
Or call 845-482-4141 or go to WJFFradio.org. You can do any of those things. We'd love to hear from you if you call 845-482-4141. Somebody in the office will pick up and say hello and take your donation and put it toward our spring fun drive. Now, here's the story. We have had a really active morning, which has been great. It's gotten us to 91% of our goal for the entire drive. Amazing. So now we just have $5,000 left on the entire $55,000 goal. We might be able to end that today. Jason Dole is here. What do you think?
I think I would like to end it today. That would be great. I think somebody needs to help us make this challenge first, though.
Yeah.
And that's the first next step. And so $200, then $5,000. We can do that. 845-482-4141. Call now. Give now. It's our spring fun drive. We're ready to make our goal, but we need your help to do it.
Get this great challenge from Calicoon Pantry. They're in Calicoon on Main Street, a $250 challenge. We've heard from a couple of folks so far, and we are waiting to hear from a couple more folks because we have $200 to go. That's that first domino that'll topple on
right.
This $5,000, right? Because then that becomes only $4,500 for the entire drive to go. And
yes.
Then we just get momentum. But we need to get this $200 right now, 845-482-4141. Or WJFFradio.org. We've been saying since last Monday that we're ending it on the 20th tomorrow. So yeah, there's some time we could give ourselves, but guess what? How about ending it today?
Let's end it today.
How
and
about that?
Make our goal. And honestly, if you've been listening during this fun drive, first, thank you. Thank you for being
thank
a listener, sticking with us. And you've given already. We thank you so much for giving. You can spread the word right now and tell folks that we are ending this fun drive today and help make that happen. 845-482-4141. It's a number to call. If you have not given yet, if you've been listening, you've been thinking about it, this is it. The fun drive's ending and we need you to end it. 845-482-4141.
Just this final stretch here, $5,000 to go to meet the entire drive, right? $200 left on a challenge to help us get there. So what part of the $200 can you do? We're going to take it bit by bit and we're going to shave it down and we're going to make it. But we need that 200 right now at 845-482-4141 or WJFFradio.org.
During Radio Chatskill, local news and conversations 5 days a week in the morning here. The community comes through these doors, talks to Tim Bruno. That is worth support right now. Help us make this challenge and do it in support of great local news and conversations. 845-482-4141. Especially as we're heading into the next program, we want to make this challenge now.
You're hearing about what's going on across the way in Liberty at the high school and the superintendent and the budget proposal that he's doing. I love that the superintendent is going to the New Munson Diner to talk about the budget.
Yes.
And they're also doing dinner and a budget.
Dinner and a budget. Right. Why not? Community out.
Yeah. Listen, I'm not. If you told me that it was just like a budget, I'd be like, eh. But hey, there's a thing. I can go and learn more and meet the superintendent and all the fine folks there. I'm going.
Food sweetens the deal.
Always. 845-482-4141. Or WJFFradio.org. Help us meet this challenge. We also heard about those great community swaps. I don't know if you were listening, but there's the community clothing swap and seed swap today at the Calicoon Pantry in Calicoon from 3 to 6. And then tomorrow in Sullivan Public, downriver in Eldred, they're doing their own clothing swap too in advance of Earth Day. We heard some great Earth Day news from Dan Hoos, Sullivan County Government as well.
Well, and just the weekly check-in to find out what's going on in Sullivan County.
You would not normally know this. You could punch into maybe something online, but like to hear them in person and like being able to have the conversation. That's what we do here on Radio Chatskill. We invite the community in and we want to hear what's going on. 845-482-4141 or WJ.